Thanks, Oisin. Well, we go to Gaza next, where aid organisations have signed a joint letter calling on Israel to stop what they say is the weaponization of aid as starvation deepens in the enclave. Trucks full of food, medicine and basic supplies remain in warehouses in Egypt and across the border. Aid workers say new Israeli legislation regulating foreign aid groups has increasingly been used to deny their entry. They say they're being turned away for everything from minor paperwork issues to heavy scrutiny over the possibility of goods being used for military purposes. Chris McIntosh, Humanitarian Response Advisor for Oxfam, is in Gaza and he joins us now on the line. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Aid agencies are being stopped from bringing in aid under these new rules. Tell us about the effect this is having for the people in Gaza.
Well, the effect it's having is that fundamentally there isn't enough food to make it into the strip and to sustain life. It's causing starvation, particularly for those who don't have the purchasing power of the insane prices that are in the markets currently. And even for those in perhaps better situations, it's causing malnutrition, particularly in children. And as you and your listeners may or may not know, the malnutrition in children is a severe problem because it can cause developmental issues. Unlike adults, they don't have the ability to spring back from a period of undernutrition. And this affects brain development and a host of other health issues that will be with them for the rest of their lives. Now, mind you, this is something that we have been predicting ever since the beginning of the blockade, which was at the beginning of March. So we're now well into the 5-6 months of this.
You have actually seen children rooting in bins, searching desperately for food. Is that right?
That's right. And actually, I first noticed that a few weeks ago, and it was a bit of an anomaly. I hadn't seen that previously. And now, basically, every morning I look out the window at that bin and I see children actually inside it, not just outside rummaging with their hands, but actually digging deep and trying to find anything that's sustenance, anything that they might be able to sell or burn, because gas is cost prohibitive these days. So yeah, that's a very common thing. I'll also say that the sight of people eating is rare, and it's something that now catches my eye, whether it's in the office or whether it's on the street. It's such a rare occurrence. To smell food being cooked is also a total novelty these days. So there absolutely is an issue.
You're moving yourself to Gaza City next week. This will be dangerous as Israel plans to take control there. Are you concerned?
No, I'm not. We keep a close eye on the security situation, and we have a list of indicators that we look at to understand where this is moving. So as best we can, we try to predict what's going to happen next with the understanding that that this is a fairly unpredictable environment. But the reason I'm going up there is to be with our team. And that's, to me, that's very, very important, especially at this critical time.
What more does the international community need to do to get this vital aid through into Gaza? Is enough being done, do you think?
No, absolutely. That enough isn't being done. The amount of trucks that are allowed in is minuscule in comparison to what the needs are. These airdrops are an embarrassing stunt at best. This is not a humanitarian way to deliver aid. And it's certainly not a dignified way to deliver aid. And furthermore, Israel keeps explaining that they don't want the aid to get into the wrong hands. I'm not sure what better way that you could ensure that the aid is not being properly distributed than literally dropping it as the wind blows onto Gaza itself.
Israel say aid trucks are only being delayed entering Gaza because they don't meet security standards. What would you say to this?
I would say that sounds great, but it's couldn't be more false. The delays and denials are systemic and they're policy driven, and they have nothing to do with NGOs not meeting basic requirements or not following security rules. as it is, 60 organizations, ourselves included, have been denied to bring in critical aid because we are not authorized. But that's the tip of the iceberg. Other agencies are being denied because items like tents and solar panels are deemed dual use. So it could be used for peaceful means, but it could also be used for weapons in the eyes of the Israeli authorities. Shelter items have been deemed not acceptable due to security reasons. Not approved is food of the prepared and fresh type. So you can see that this is a Byzantine bureaucracy that's just coming up with various reasons, impediments, roadblocks to bringing in aid. When the solution is very, very clear, and that is opening the crossings and granting unfettered access, then the starvation will stop.
Chris McIntosh, Humanitarian Response Advisor for Oxfam in Gaza, thank you so much for joining us on Morning Ireland.